one of the things we talked about at length at the clubs was, is there an appetite to talk about back-ended contracts, about us specifically putting rules in place? Historically, we've left that decision up to clubs, been up to clubs to manage their salary caps, but there's a clear appetite from the clubs for us to be putting some rules in place. So we agreed to put a working group in place and come back in the early new year with a recommendation on that. Effectively, we'll put rules in place to stop back-ended contracts. Well, I think it's become obvious that there's a very small number, albeit problematic, where clubs have got themselves into trouble by putting back-ended contracts into play. And that has hurt. It's hurt several clubs. So there's a strong desire for us to get involved and make sure it doesn't happen again.
There's a big appetite down there at the National Rugby League. There's a terrific marketing opportunity for Sean Garlick there with Garlow's Pies as well to sort of quell and quench that appetite for things regarding the 16 National Rugby League clubs. In all seriousness, the great minds of the Rugby League met yesterday, the 16 CEOs there to hear from the National Rugby League and Todd Greenberg to outlaw back-ended contracts. There's an appetite for that to happen. Clubs can't be trusted, basically, to manage their own affairs, so the governing body has to overrule them and put those conditions in place, and those changes should be in place by the start of 2019. Also, there's an appetite for discussion regarding the coaches' contracts, that they can't be tampered with until 12 months out from the end of their contract, and talk of a transfer window. So, Loz, we thought we'd get an expert in to dissect everything that's happened in the last 24 hours. We're looking for one, but we got Dean Ritchie instead from the Daily Telegraph. Hello, Bulldog.
Yeah, boom, boom. Come on, keep him coming.
Big appetite. How's yours at the moment?
My appetite's actually very, very heavy at the moment. I haven't had breakfast.
You'll be right.
How's your appetite?
I've had a banana.
Have you just?
And an apple.
Right.
And I'll have an orange at 8:30, Dean.
Is it a bit washed down by a lunch pizza world? Or?
No. No, a salad.
A salad?
I'm on a diet.
You're losing some weight.
I am, yeah.
You should.
Mate,
I reckon, no, I'm seriously, Laurie, a bloke of your size and frame, you should be about 8Ks less than what you are. What are you in it now?
I'm 93.
Well, you should be 85.
I want to get down to 91.
Keep going.
I want to be ripped.
What did you get to?
Oh, I got to 95.
What'd you play at?
Right. That's okay.
Oh, 93. Well, yeah, you put on 2 or 3 kilos.
You're carrying a bit, mate, around the middle.
Oh, that's harsh.
Mate, I'm saying it to you as a friend.
I'm in reasonable shape.
I want you to live a long and healthy life. Drop a couple around the middle.
So do I. I will. I'll take that advice on board. By the way, do you want some yourself?
Yeah, I was going to say. Can't believe you haven't fired one back. It fits nicely.
What did you make of what came out of the conference yesterday?
Yeah, I thought it was good, TK, in that I think something had to be done about third parties. The issue I've got, though, is what they say and what they can actually police. You know, how they're going to formally police this issue and get it done. It's easy to say we'll do A, B, C and D, but can they actually do it? Can they implement these strategies that they're looking at? It's like the transfer window. How are they going to stop players signing outside the window? Mm. I mean, it sounds great.
Or agreeing to terms outside the window.
Are you agreeing to terms?
Effectively.
We had
and as you said this morning, at 12:01, they're going to announce 4 players. Yeah. So it becomes a farce again, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, we had John on this morning, and quite rightly he asked about, you know, third parties. Why is, say, a Cameron Smith upset at the Melbourne Storm because he hasn't been paid his third parties when the clubs are at arm's length? They have nothing to do with it, supposedly. So why should he be angry at the club?
Absolutely.
The only reason they're angry at the club, well, we read into it, the only reason they're upset at the club, that the club maybe somehow knew.
Well, exactly. The case with Cam Smith, though, I don't think it's going to get ugly down there, but it sounds like, if your figures are right this morning, guys, and I tuned in early, $850, that's a hell of a lot of money. And even for Cameron Smith, who's probably got every coin minted in Victoria, that's still a lot of money to try to push to one side and say, let's get on with business. I don't blame the Melbourne Storm, but if he's owed this money and he's been promised it, where does it come into, you have to pay me, or a promise?
Well, it's simple.
There's a register, isn't it, with the NRL?
Yes.
It's simple. If it's registered if it's guaranteed by the Melbourne Storm, they have to pay, and I'm sure they would.
But you're not allowed to guarantee them, mate.
Yes, you are. You can guarantee a third-party payment as long as you declare that. That's then counted under your salary cap.
Absolutely. Right.
So if it's not guaranteed by the football club, that's a third-party payment outside the salary cap, which is how they manipulate the cap, so to speak.
This is why
so that's fine.
A lot of people hate TPAs. They don't quite understand them, and it's all very murky. Is something guaranteed? What does arm's length mean, Laurie? I know we say it, and I use it myself, but you know, again,
well, you're not allowed to have anything to do with organising.
Correct, correct. I don't mean it literally. I just mean, again, it's a little bit murky, though.
As we know what it means.
Correct, exactly. So, look, I think the whole TPAs... You know, there's actually a threat yesterday from Greenberg, which wasn't publicised a lot this morning, that he would consider publicising all TPAs for every club.
My theory is
which
a little
could
bit
be
different.
A bit transparent.
I don't mind. I'd like a Brisbane Broncos club to publicise the factors because I believe people are entitled to some sort of privacy. And I'd like to say, well, we actually have third party agreements for our players that add up to $1.5 million. So we are now effectively working with a salary cap of $11.5 million, which means that's how we can fit this amount of great players into our squad. Mm. And a club like and I'm just picking one here, right, randomly, the Gold Coast Titans may well come out and say, we operate with only $100,000 worth of third-party payments in place, so our salary cap is effectively $10.1 million. I don't need to know everybody's personal third-party details.
I mean, I've said it before, guys, TPAs are important, quite clearly, but it doesn't guarantee your success. I mean, the Broncos have got the most TPAs in the NRL by a substantial amount, yet they've won a comp since 2006.
No. It's their longest premiership drought ever.
Yeah. Now, there's a competition committee meeting on today, two guys. It runs Thursday, Friday. Today's a lot of data information, nothing that really is sexy in terms of what could be discussed in the show. But tomorrow will be the one that will be interesting. The interchange will be brought up, whether it is reduced from 8 to 6.
They won't do that straight away, would they?
The mail is, Loz, that they will obviously... probably send that to a working party, which they tend to do a lot of. Certainly, I spoke to a lot of coaches the other day. Paul McGregor was for it. I think you'll find Ricky Stewart is a supporter to drop the cap. Guys like Shane Flanagan, Paul Green wanted more data.
Drop the interchange.
Correct. Yeah. But there's a lot of stoppages in the game these days.
Yeah. But you've got to give clubs notice so they can start to get
their roster
in order.
Correct. Brad Arthur made a good point. He said, look, I don't particularly care. I've got a lot of big forwards who can play big minutes anyway, so I don't care whether it is dropped. But you know, there is a theory from the older players that the old gladiator style should come back in a game where your backside's on the ground, but you just got to keep going. Well, you can't stick your hand up.
It also opens it up for the little player or the small, faster, those type of player to get out and run the ball a lot more.
Yeah, well, Bulldog, we chatted about this as recently as yesterday, and it's not going to happen because the Dragons say they will not release Matt Dufty, right, to fit Jared Hayne in. But I love the little bloke in the game, and quite clearly, Laurie pointed out that, you know, obviously your kick return and your first tackle after being stuck in a corner, you need that big man to carry the ball out. But it's a shame that we don't have a place for little blokes in the game anymore, including on the wing, of all places on the wing. Mm.
Yeah.
But the only place you can fit a little bloke is at fullback, maybe.
And that'll change if someone has...
Not if we keep going the rules
But if someone has success with a little guy at fullback, like Benny Barber wasn't great, but he had a great year there. Not big, sorry. But he had a great year there with the Sharks and the Bulldogs a couple of seasons ago. But they're better at the other end of the field. Whereas in today's game where it's... field position and kicking games are so strong.
Understand.
It's the back three. And
but the dropping
body,
of the interchange will help.
Exactly right.
I like it. Laurie, you're a former international. What would be your ideal number?
Oh, look, I haven't really thought about it, but I don't mind the idea of six.
Six.
Yeah, I think that would open the game up
a little
bit more.
We've got to get the ball and become in play more.
Particularly with the stoppages now. Yeah. So even six from 2 years ago, isn't what six will even be now in the modern game.
The shot clock for a dropout. There are so many stoppages.
But see, even
the ball's got to come back.
Even
play
six
more.
Is not like six replacements 20 years ago because you got head knocks and the HIA.
3 years ago.
3 years ago. So you've got all these sort of new stoppages that come into the game and allowances for people to leave the field, get assessed, and then come back into the game.
And bugger the clubs. Because they'll all be on the same sort of notice, right? So you don't need a heads up, right? everyone's recruited.
Yeah, I think you need. I think you need 12 months. I think you just can't go.
Mate, everyone's recruited the same loss, right?
Yeah, but some people recruit big, some recruit small.
Well, who recruits small?
Well, you look at what Canberra have done. They've offloaded two of their biggest because they wanted to go for a more mobile forward pack.
Yeah.
So there's coaches have different.
But that's under
theories
the, that's
on
under
how
the
they want to play. Yeah. So you've got to at least give them 12 months so they can organise their roster to allow for the changes that are made in the game. I would. I wouldn't just rush in a rule and say, right, this is what we're going to do.
It's the same for everyone.
See, I don't mind some fatigue in the game, guys. I think that's a good thing in some ways. There isn't a tired player on the field these days. You know, some of these forwards are playing 35 minutes. And whenever they do get a bit weary, they stick their hand up and they go off for a break. I don't mind a player who's out there, who's under fatigue and has to work harder and then is a bit more vulnerable in defence, which means you can then perhaps break open rigid defensive lines, which these days are just so strong.
Yeah, no, I'm happy with that. I'm happy for it to go to six, but I still think we need a bit of time, 12 months, rather than just announcing that it's going to happen next year. But anyway, we'll get away from that.
The only thing stopping it is duty of care. And every governing body, every school, every elite governing body...
Terrified.
They're terrified of duty of care, right? And it's a big, big issue. So lawyers will probably make the decision. Lost. Sorry, mate.
No, you're right. Player movement.
Yeah.
What's happening with, say, Alex Johnson?
Alex Johnson. He's off contract after next year, Laurie. So he's a free agent now, essentially. Look, South have bought Corey Allen from the Broncos, a good young kid, and they've got Greg Inglis there. So at this point, they're hoping to keep Johnson, but Cronulla is monitoring the situation. Look, they've got perhaps Ben Barber to come back. They've also got Matt Moylan, Josh Dugan, but certainly the Sharks are looking at the Alex Johnson situation and just wondering whether he would be a good fit at the Sharks, because we clearly know he's an outstanding player.
Yeah, and Valentine Holmes could be on the way out.
Well, this is clear.
We're assuming
that Valentine Holmes is going, hence Johnson would be a wonderful replacement.
Yeah, Dylan Napa and Dave Clemmer. So is Clemmer on his way to Newcastle?
Yes, it will happen.
It will happen?
It will certainly happen. It's just a matter of when. It could be the next couple of days. A good source of mine says he spotted Dylan Napa at Canterbury last night. I'm hearing that the Roosters won't stand in Napa's way. So if he wants to leave, he can. And I think you'll find he will. That's the mail I'm getting. He's got about a week to decide. But I think you'll find that he will be the replacement fairly immediately once Clemmer goes.
Yeah.
Napa will go in. That's a good sign for the Bulldogs.
And it's also a good sign for Newcastle if Clemmer goes up there. That's the difference between them making the eight. And I think that just confirms everything going well. They make the eight with David Clemmer. They'd be in my eight next year if Clemmer's there.
Just on Penrith too, before I shoot off, guys, strength and conditioning, a big part of the game these days. I'm hearing that they've signed three of the best. Hayden Knowles, Laurie, you know these blokes, Scott Campbell and Craig Cataract.
There you go.
So that's a big two. If the Panthers can get those three there on top of their administration and their roster, I think you'll find the Panthers will be hunting around that top four yet again.
And just officially, we've been talking about all these changes and the appetite that the clubs have got. The Players Association have to tick off on all of this. Ian Prendergast, who's the boss of the RLPA, has tweeted this morning, "We are open to looking at these issues. However, any changes re player movement system or back-ended contracts will need to be evidence-based and consider intended and unintended consequences while ensuring the rights of the players, the key stakeholders, and the NRL Premiership are protected." So there's a lot of water to go under the bridge yet.
Just hypothetically, TK, a bloke's on 200 a year and then they put him in at 500 for year two. The NRL is going to reject that now. They're going to say, no, we won't register that. Legally, do they have any grounds to say in year two, you're not worth 500? I'm just fearful this could, as so many other issues in sport,
as a CEO, I'm not allowing back into contracts, right, at my particular club. I don't think it's necessary for the governing body because I think it's a bad reflection on your individual club. You can't manage yourself, right? But that's another issue for another day. But I'd say you can do whatever you like. If you break that cap, we are going to cripple you.
Mm. Do they catch them, though?
Well, if we catch you, and back-ended contracts, you can probably, it's pretty obvious because they're actually registered.
No.
The back-ended contract's registered. If you break that cap, I'll cripple you.
Yeah. Well, so how would that have worked with Newcastle and the Cowboys, though? Because the Cowboys had Kalen Ponga on a contract that was worth, well, I don't know, minimum amount,
make it up,
I'm assuming.
Make it up.
And then, so he goes from 150 to 600. So they're not going to allow that.
No.
I could allow it for a jack-in-the-box player who jumps out of that.
But at the time when they paid the money, everyone was saying, they've paid too much.
They did stress,
Newcastle.
So
no, different club, buddy. They're a different club.
Different club, correct.
Yeah.
So they'll allow that.
Yeah.
So they'll allow that,
yeah.
But they won't allow you. Yeah. Well, how are you going to keep your player?
They did say, Laurie.
No. That's unfair.
No, that's unfair. They'd be able to make a case for that.
Young kids will be exempt.
Yeah.
That's unfair to say, because we've had him on 150, Newcastle have offered him 600.
Correct.
Why can't we go from 150 to 600?
I mean, that's a case where you look at it and go, you justify that. But you can't justify, just say, poor old Greg Eastwood's popping
but
200 to 800.
But what I'm saying is that at the time, Newcastle paid overs, all right?
Oh, I don't think so.
Well, a lot of people thought, give this kid 600? So if you've got 150 to 600, and if the people in the league are thinking, well, he's not worth it, that's getting overpaid, you've got to release it.
Yes.
So that's unfair there.
Hours of talk back coming out of this, Bulldog. We thank you so much, mate. We'll be reading your articles in the Daily Telegraph.
Thanks, Tico. Thanks, Porky.